Hex Noir, Chapter 12, Void. For a moment, Alba and Nikolai drifted and hovered in the black, vacuous darkness, and then gravity dragged them down. Their feet found uneven ground that seemed to move and squirm underneath them. But then they looked down and they saw nothing but empty air. A terrible pain pressed on their minds within this horrid space, and their bodies grew incredibly hot, like their blood was on fire.
"What now?"
asked Nikolai. His voice sounded almost ethereal, but it refused to carry any further than to Alba, as if something was holding back all sound.
"I don't know,"
Alba said before her foot slipped and her body tumbled and fell. Where once there had been uneven, invisible ground, now there was nothing but air. Nikolai reached out to grab her, but then fell too. The two warlings tumbled through the air until they were suddenly on a slope and sliding down its strange, slimy, and malleable surface. Strange liquids splashed them, but they saw nothing. At one point, they felt themselves collide with something, some thin membrane that tore and ripped and collapsed upon them. They continued to slide until suddenly they came to a stop. They felt no shift in gravity. They were sliding and falling one moment, and the next, they simply weren't.
"What the hell is this place?"
asked Nikolai, finding the sound of his voice very unnerving.
"I think that's exactly what it might be. Hell."
They turned to look up, where they saw the tear and light spill only to be swallowed by this umbral space. Only now could they see the faint movement of nearly translucent shapes overlapping the light from the tear, as if some partially formless veil glided and swayed in the air.
"Alba," Nikolai said.
Alba looked over and found him looking at something behind them. As she turned, she found a rather strange sight. It was a structure, like a building, but it looked off. Not only was it incredibly uneven and asymmetrical, it had windows and doorways that actually only gave way to more walls, as if the structure understood the shape of windows and doors, but not their purpose. Like something had constructed this structure without knowing what it was. But that's not where the unsettling nature of the structure ended. It very clearly resembled a Gothic high-rise from Fellhaven. But as it rose up, its walls simply slowly vanished into nothingness. And on top of all that, the building was made of flesh. Crimson in color, with numerous veins and blemishes, this building simply stood there, surrounded by nothing but darkness. Alba looked back and was shocked to see a dark figure peer in through the tear.
"She's here."
She got up and pulled Nikolai towards the building. If Luna was following them in here, they would have to hide. Although they were healing much faster than any human ever could, they were still far from healed. The two of them rushed towards the structure, but for a moment it appeared as if it had no actual entrance. They followed its edge, rounded the bend, but all they found was just imitations of windows and doors that led to nowhere. But finally, ultimately, they found an opening. It wasn't a door or a window. The wall just all of a sudden gave way to the structure's interior. Within, they found what looked like an apartment, fully furnished with chairs, tables, a sofa, and some cupboards. But none of them looked right, and most of them were oriented and positioned in incredibly strange locations. All of them also made of flesh. Alba brought a finger up to her mouth, motioning Nikolai to stay quiet before leading him further in. They silently moved through the apartment, bathed in strange carmine light, as the walls and floors ever so gently squirmed and undulated. They eventually found what was probably supposed to be a front door and emerged into a twisted corridor. Off in the distance, they could hear heavy animalistic breathing approaching them, and they knew that Luna would soon be upon them. Nikolai spotted a nearby opening that led to another apartment. Now he pulled Alba by the hand, and the two ducked inside. They soon heard Luna emerge from the apartment and into the corridor, where she stopped for a moment, sniffing at the air. The two of them held their mouths to quiet their breathing, fearful of what would happen if she found them. Time seemed to stretch, as for a moment it seemed like Luna was approaching their hiding place. But then suddenly, she darted off away from them. Alba and Nikolai sighed with relief.
Oh, we need to get back to the rift, said Nikolai.
Alba nodded, but then her eyes drifted past him, towards something behind him. Nikolai turned to look and found the object of her gaze. At the center of the apartment that currently housed them, they could see a living room table surrounded by ill-placed chairs. And sitting in one of these chairs was a faintly humanoid figure. Although calling it a figure might have been too generous. From the chair extruded numerous veins and capillaries that rose up into the air and into the rough structure or outline of a humanoid form. Almost as if they had grown around something invisible that had been sitting in the chair.
Let's go, now, said Nikolai.
Alba nodded before hearing something that captured her attention. An echo. Distant and frail, but soon it grew louder. Loud enough for her to make out that it was, in fact, a voice.
My sweet girls, you have to take care of each other.
An almost imperceptible whisper that hung in the air like smoke from a doused candle.
Did you hear that?
Asked Alba. But there was no answer.
Nikolai?
She turned to look, but Nikolai wasn't there. In fact, he wasn't anywhere. There was no room. She was alone in an empty void.
Nikolai?
She repeated, not daring to raise her voice.
You know you're very special.
She heard Brynwald's voice whisper out of the empty void.
To the project, and to me.
Her mind felt like it was on fire now. Her breathing was getting ragged. This place was beginning to seriously affect her.
Nikolai, where are you?
She took a few steps until her foot hit something and she stumbled and fell. The void was still dark and she saw nothing but herself. However, when she stumbled, she fell upon malleable, carnal ground that writhed at her touch. She placed her hand down but felt herself begin to sink into the invisible horror that now enveloped her.
Nikolai! Nikolai!
Nikolai's eyes remained fixed on the veiny effigy that sat on the chair. It transfixed him. He got up and walked to it, unable to look away. It was familiar to him. The shape of its shoulders and torso, the way it sat in a haunched position. It reminded him of
Mama.
A terrible pain rent his mind, as if someone had pushed a hot knife through it. A trickle of blood poured from his nose as he approached, and the more he took in the figure's form, the more his eyes filled with tears.
No, this isn't you. It can't be you.
The figure remained seated, unmoving, completely silent and unresponsive. Nikolai's heart raced as terrible thoughts filled his mind. If he had been stuck in the Fellhaven Royal Hospital for a year and a half, what had become of his mother? It had been a question that had hung over him ever since they read Dr. Richardson's notes in the East Wing. A question that had filled his heart with a fear that he had been unable to face. a fear that seemed to sit before him in this very moment. He feared, above all else, that his mother was dead, wasted away with no one to take care of her. And if this place was hell, and his mother was dead, could this be her? Mama? He whimpered as he reached out with his hand. Suddenly, the figure moved and grabbed his arm. The veins moved and tore, and the figure no longer resembled his mother. It didn't even look human anymore. Nikolai's skin burned, and soon his blood was boiling.
Let go!
He called out as he activated his weapon and swung it. But as he did, the weapon made a strange sound and, much to his surprise, a huge arc of red burst out from it, and the figure was gone. The weapon thrummed eagerly, and for the first time ever, he felt as if it was an actual part of him, an extension of himself. Nikolai stood there, panting. His mind was racing, doubting everything he had seen. Had anything actually been there? Or was this place playing tricks on him? Was the void messing with his mind? Or did the void hide some formless terrors within it?
And did you see that?
He asked Alba and turned around, only to find himself alone in the fleshy apartment.
Alba?
He craned his head, trying to find her. It was as if she had just vanished without a sound, without a trace. He turned and turned, and with each second he grew more fearful and frantic, until he turned and found himself no longer in the apartment. He was now standing in a vast and crimson field, but before him he saw a long and fancy dinner table. Standing around the table, he saw multiple crimson figures locked in pained poses, clawing at their necks and faces, or savagely attacking one another. On top of the table, he saw a masculine figure kneeling with its hands up defensively, and standing over it was another figure, smaller and more feminine. This one was dressed in loose fabrics with a heavy hood, and it wielded many pointed instruments, which it had forced into the kneeling figure's face. Alba sank through the flesh, where she could feel skin and veins and bones pushing her down. She screamed and screamed until a pair of gangly hands reached out through the bulbous prison and grabbed Alba's head. Her whole body locked in place, and she was unable to move or speak. The flesh squirmed, and out from the folds where the hands had emerged, a head now pushed through. It had long, black hair that was thick with slime or bodily fluids, and its face was pale and flat. It looked like some newborn terror. The head opened its mouth, and Alba saw fingers pushing through as if they were attempting to rip the head apart. And then the eyes opened, and they were no eyes, but mouths with teeth and tongues each. They spoke in two voices, one feminine and one masculine.
Woe to the wolf's head upon the night of two moons. One crimson, one black. The blood of two brothers will flow, and a city will burn.
I don't understand.
Alba found herself uttering in bewildered terror. The head now turned to properly face her.
The Lady of Nott has long since lost her mind. She will not aid you.
And then the hands released her, and she began sinking again. Her mind was filled with speculations of what horrors awaited her wherever she was sinking to. And she began thrashing and kicking and screaming in the hopes that Nikolai would hear her somehow.
Nikolai!
Nikolai turned when he suddenly heard Alba's screams coming from the crimson fleshy ground, and he now suddenly saw a writhing orifice. "Alba!" he called out as he dropped his weapon and pushed his hand through. His hands quickly found one of her legs, and he managed to grab a hold of it. "I got you!" he called out. "Don't worry, I got you!"
"Nikolai, please pull me out!"
he heard Alba's muffled voice call back.
"There's something down here with me!"
"Hold on," he said as he began to pull. Alba was very lithe and slender and certainly did not weigh much. But she was being pulled down by some immense force, and for a moment Nikolai feared he'd be pulled down with her.
"I have you! I have you!"
His eyes looked up again upon the field, and now he found no table. No scene of savagery, but instead just a singular figure. A gaunt, pale-skinned humanoid figure with elongated arms and legs that seemed to fuse with the fleshy ground upon which it stood. It had no eyes. It had no nose nor lips, but a skeletal mouth that clattered. Nikolai held on to Alba's leg, but was unable to look away from the figure. There it stood and swayed as if it was in some trance-like dance, and then it froze in place. Its head slowly twitched and turned towards him, and Nikolai found himself praying for the first time in his life, praying the creature wouldn't rush towards him next. But it didn't. Instead, it reached into its mouth and pulled out something that it held hidden in its hands. It seemed to almost smile at him as it opened its palms and showed him two eyes resting in its hands. Two red eyes that perfectly resembled Alba's eyes.
"Alba!" he called out. "You need to find something to push yourself out. You hear me?"
Alba sank and sank, even though she could feel Nikolai's hand around her ankle. She sank and sank until her head and shoulders popped out on the other side of it and into another vacuous void. All around her, she could see flesh and veins squirming like she had sunk through some massive, horrible creature. Below her, she heard rumbling, and so she looked down. Far, far below, she saw a wide and crumbling city, its buildings engulfed by fires and its streets filled with screams. But above the city, hovering in place, she saw a black sphere, its oval shape seemingly encased with a dark, striated and cracked shell, like some burnt egg. But out from under it, tendrils reached out and gobbled up buildings and people. It was consuming the city. The egg's surface cracked, and deep within it, she saw some obelisk at its core, pulsing with vile energy as it did. Her heart was filled with guilt. Suddenly, she felt herself pulled up with greater force than before, and within seconds, she was pulled out of the fleshy ground.
"Oh my gods, are you okay?"
Nikolai asked frantically as he pulled her away from the orifice. They were back in the apartment now.
I'm fine, I think. "Well, good job pushing yourself back through. I couldn't pull you out no matter how hard I tried."
Alpa looked at him strangely.
"No, I was stuck down there. I couldn't move."
They both looked at each other with confusion before their gaze returned to the orifice, which still undulated ever so gently. Just then, they heard rapid, splashy footfalls approaching them. They turned to look at the open doorway to the corridor and beheld, in horror, the crimson, frenzied visage of Luna dashing towards them. Thinking quickly, Nikolai pushed Alba back just as Luna launched herself at her twin. Her frantic form flailed as she met nothing but air for a moment before hitting the soft ground and sliding upon it. The two of them got up quickly and were about to turn on their heel and run, knowing that Luna would do the same, but they were surprised to find that she didn't. It didn't take long to realize that Luna was now caught in the same disgusting orifice that Alba had sunk through, slowly being pulled down. "Now's our chance," Nikolai proclaimed as he retrieved his weapon. The two of them got up and ran out into the corridor, but were mortified to find the building's layout changed. Where the corridor used to stretch on, it now forked on one side and descended down on the other. And the doors leading to various apartments were nowhere to be found. Behind them, they heard Luna struggling to pull herself free, and they knew their time was limited. And so they ran towards the fork in the hallway and randomly picked a direction. "This way," said Nikolai as he led Alba left. They ran down the winding corridor and briefly worried they'd made the wrong choice as they saw it began to ascend and twist like they were inside a grotesque capillary system. But then they spotted an opening at the corridor's end, and so they sprinted and climbed towards it, expecting they had to drop down as they had climbed at least two floors. They were surprised to find themselves emerging at ground level of the building. "There!" Alba exclaimed, pointing at the light pouring in through the rift above. Maybe something had changed, or maybe this void has simply changed them, but now they could see the fleshy slope that led up to it. Wasting no words on the matter, the two of them began to climb up in frantic terror. But they were only halfway up when Alba felt a hand grab her ankle and begin to pull her down. Looking down in a panic, Alba was horrified to see her twin just below them, attempting to pull her back down into the hellscape. "No, no, 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 no," she exclaimed as she dug her fingers into the nebulous skin and folds they had climbed up. She felt blood pour out, but saw nothing. In one swift movement, Nikolai slid down towards Luna, swung his cleaver at the hand that held Alba, and then kicked her right in the face. The frenzied crimson warling lost her grip and tumbled down the slope, growling and screaming all the way down. Nikolai then helped push Alba forward, and the two of them continued their ascent towards the rift. Their breathing had turned racket and their bodies ached at this point, but they continued to push themselves onward until they finally reached the rift and crawled through. The air of Brimwell's subterranean lab felt absolutely revitalizing after the hell they had literally just clawed their way through. The two warlings frantically crawled through the security door and collapsed onto the floor.
"We did it," said Nikolai. "Close the door. We have to close the door."
Alba spat out, coughing and gagging. It felt like her lungs had been filled with some vile liquid or traces of bodily fluids.
"I know," said Nikolai as he forced himself back up to his feet.
A queer sensation then washed over Alba as she suddenly felt another presence emerge through the rift. Suddenly, Nikolai felt the heavy impact of something crash into his back, sending him flying forwards, landing between the two steel tables. Alba turned around to find Luna standing in the doorway of the security door. She quickly got up, hoping against hope she could push her sister back through the door and then lock it. But when she tried, her twin simply countered with a punch right into her throat, sending Alba recoiling backwards, clutching her esophagus. Luna then kicked her right in the chest, sending her tumbling back. Nikolai caught her and helped her back to her feet. The two of them, completely out of breath and with no strength left in their body, stood there, looking back at Luna. She herself looked beyond fatigued, like she had also been dragged through hell and back. Her clothes had been torn where she had previously sustained cuts and stabs, which had now healed. Her body, her hair, and her clothes were all covered in blood and viscera. There she stood, her black and red eyes fixed on the two of them with murderous intent, and yet her breathing was also racked. She too looked tired beyond compare. Her fingers twitched and a blood dagger formed and solidified in her hand, but then quickly melted and spilled onto the floor. Alba and Nikolai looked at one another and then towards the bottle of ether that still remained on one of the nearby tables, and they knew it was either now or never. For one fleeting moment, the three of them stood there, staring at each other, just waiting for one errant movement to kickstart this desperate battle. Go! Nikolai commanded as he grabbed his cleaver and dashed towards Luna. He swung the flat end of the folded up cleaver towards Luna, but she dodged out of the way and stumbled to the side. But before he could pivot and strike again, she had darted in towards him and jabbed her closed fist into his face. He felt his jaw push out of place and his teeth crash into one another. As he stumbled back, he swung again, and this time he caught her right in the ribs. Luna lost her balance and fell onto one of the steel tables. Suddenly, Alba came out of nowhere, either in one hand and the other grabbing a solid hold of Luna's hair. "I'm sorry," she said before slamming her sister's face into the metal table. "Now, grab her!" Nikolai quickly approached, but was about to use his weight to pin down Luna, when suddenly she twitched and pulled up one of her legs, before then extending it and kicking her foot right into Nikolai's knee. The young man cried in pain as he collapsed to the floor, right as Luna grabbed onto Alba and pulled her over the table and then slammed her onto the linoleum floor. The air was knocked out of Alba's lungs. In a blur, Luna reached for a nearby table where she grabbed a knife, pulling the table down to its side in the process, with all the instruments on it clattering to the floor. She then stabbed the knife downwards towards his sister's face, but Alba managed to bring up her free hand just in time. The knife plunged through her palm and exited out the other side, but she stopped it only mere inches from her eye. Luna then shifted her weight on Alba, and the knife began slowly closing the distance to her eye yet again. Alba looked around and quickly spotted a small weighted scale that had fallen to the ground, and so she released the bottle of ether and grabbed the scale. Then she swung it into her sister's face and watched as a gout of blood splattered the nearby table. The attack sent Luna falling to the side where she was met with Nikolai's fist, which connected with the other side of her face, making her fall in the opposite direction. Nikolai quickly scrambled on top of Luna and tried his best to pin her to the floor. Alba managed to grab her sister's hand where she dug her fingernails into her flesh. The second she connected with her blood, she used her power to force her consciousness into Luna's mind in an attempt to control her. And much like the monster she had compelled to kill itself, Luna's mind was a whirlwind of violence and whispers, voices commanding her to kill and to rip and to tear. But unlike the creature's mind, she felt a greater will begin to push her out. And in that moment, she knew she wouldn't be able to control her sister. "Get the ether!" Alba commanded as she focused on tethering Luna's mind. Nikolai reached over and grabbed the bottle, but just then, Luna broke free of Alba's influence and quickly began pummeling her sister in the face repeatedly with her closed fist. Nikolai, in an act of desperation, slammed the bottle into her face, which forced her to cease her attack. He then released the bottle and wrapped his arms around Luna, putting all of his strength into holding her in place. "Do it! Now!" he called out just as Alba blindly reached for the bottle. It took a couple of attempts, but she eventually found the bottle and removed the cap. She pushed herself up and opened her bludgeoned eyes to look upon her restrained sister. Like a deranged animal, writhing and crawling, but she wasn't completely animalistic. She knew something was up, and so she refused to open her mouth and constantly turned her head away whenever Alba tried to pour the ether in her mouth.
It's not working. We can't."
And then she thought of something. She turned to find the bloodshot lying on the floor with an empty blood vial in it.
"Keep holding her,"
Alba commanded as she frantically crawled across the floor towards the device. Luna struggled and struggled until she eventually managed to wriggle free of Nikolai's grasp. She elbowed the boy in the face and then spun around and sunk her teeth into his shoulder, drinking heartily of his blood. Nikolai screamed in pain as Alba hurriedly opened the bloodshot and opened the cap on the vial within it, and then she haphazardly poured the ether into it. Luna finally tore out a piece of Nikolai's shoulder and then slammed his head into the floor, before turning to find her sister huddling over something. She quickly darted across the room, grabbing the knife that had previously been in Alba's hand, and launched into her attack. She expected Alba to dodge. She even expected her to crawl away. But what she hadn't anticipated was her sister turning and then rushing towards her. In fact, that maneuver probably saved her life, as the two alabaster girls collided and their heads smacked into one another. But whereas Luna's knife had meant nothing but air, Alba's bloodshot had found its way straight into Luna's chest. And as the needle pierced her skin, Alba pulled the trigger. The feral girl pushed away, but it was too late. The ether was already affecting her, muddling her mind and making her body sluggish. She swung the knife, but Alba easily dodged it. She tried to get up, mounting a proper attack, but now her strength was leaving her, and she collapsed to the floor, unable to carry her own weight. And soon, she felt the constant screaming and shouting that had engulfed her mind in the past 2 hours or so, slowly subside. Like a chronic pain that had suddenly left her, like an immense pressure that had now been alleviated, Luna felt her frenzy slowly drain away, as the last vestiges of her feral side slowly went back to their slumber. She didn't sleep. She couldn't sleep. But she lay there, breathing and panting and crying. Slowly, she saw her twin approach and then begin to cradle her head in her lap.
Alba,
she said weakly. Tears began cascading down Alba's smiling face.
It's me. I'm here. I've got you.
A pained expression dawned upon Luna's face as logic and reason began to take hold in her mind once more.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
Shh, Alba said as she leaned down and kissed her sister's forehead.
Everything's gonna be all right. I got you. We've got you.
Nikolai crawled over to the two sisters, hesitant at first, but soon he reached out and gently held Luna's hand.
Oh God, I hurt you both so much.
Nikolai smiled. It's okay. You still have that one crown and a couple of silver, right?
So, tomorrow's dinner is still on you.
There was a moment of silence before they laughed. A pained laugh, but it was a laugh of relief.
Fuck you.
Said Luna with a faint smile on her face and tears in her eyes. And so the three of them huddled together in that basement. A hell abandoned, a sister reclaimed, and a new chance of survival attained. Everything was going to be all right, so long as they were together. End of chapter 12.